You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott O.
Intro, because we were just absolutely fascinated. We got the wonders on the end.
Renee,
let me introduce them.
We're fine. Scott, calm down.
The wonders are a collective energy consciousness channeled by deep trance channel Rene Gaudet with the assistance of his wife Maggie McGuffin Gaudet. The wonders describe themselves as a group of entities numbering between 3,000 to 4,000 and residing in the 29th dimension of reality, where all reality is comprised of 32 dimensions, with God, goddesses, the all that is, residing in the 32nd dimension. In ancient times, the wonders were known by many names, including the Oracle of Delphi in Greece and as Ra in Egypt. They have chosen to speak to us again at this time in order to guide individuals on their spiritual journey towards self-empowerment. I would like to wholeheartedly welcome Renee and Maggie and the Wonders to the show. Their website is www.thewonders.com. Renee, Maggie, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Greetings.
Great.
Good.
How are you guys?
Well, we've had better nights here.
I didn't have time to say this beforehand, but they asked who was asking questions. I just want to let them know if there are questions from the chat room, I'll be asking them.
Yeah,
Well, that's true, because we had asked at the beginning of the show, we had said it in the chat rooms, because we've got chat rooms that we're in when we're doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Bonnie monitors the chat room,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Bonnie Giammarusti.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we don't need that. That's okay.
I can just say Scott, Doug, and Bonnie.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's fine.
That'll
work out fine. So how do we want
to go to Warren, right?
What's that? We're in
Warren, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
We're just north of Detroit.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So how do we want to do this?
You guys are just across the border from the old Canadian side.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. First, I want to get to know you guys, Renee and Maggie. I want to know a little bit about what you guys do and how you came across this.
Well, what we do is exactly this. We channel the wonders. That's everything we do. Everything you see on our website, all the workshops, study groups, everything, our whole life is dedicated to the wonders. We don't do anything else.
Wow.
We live, breathe, and sleep the wonders. How's
mm-hmm.
that?
this is amazing. And what kinds of things, how do people receive this? In your workshops and travels and undoubtedly in your internet email communications and stuff, people must have learned a lot and commented a lot on what you do. How is it received? How have folks been learning and growing because of what you do?
Well, first, I think the thing to understand is the people that receive the wonders most are the people that are real searchers in their lives. These are the people that really want to uncover the deep core mystery inside of themselves. Most of the people that come to the wonders because they've been yearning for something. They've been searching for an answer, answers to something. They don't quite know what it is. And when they come across the wonders, they realize they've come home. So it's like connecting to that source that, you know, you've just always been looking for and never could find. People that are interested in simply entertainment don't come to the wonders. The wonders are just far, far beyond that. They have decided on their own to invest themselves completely into themselves and join a teacher program that the wonders have created.
Mm-hmm.
And the program is designed to help people really be real with themselves, live the reality that they are, and realize that the reality is not the illusion we think we are, that we're physical and all that, but to actually live the reality that we are truly energy beings.
Mm-hmm.
So they're working towards that.
Amazing. When folks ask questions, do you hear them or are you not around?
No.
When?
Let me explain to you a little bit of what goes on. Right now, actually, I'm lying back in a chair, in a nice relaxing chair. It's mm-hmm. one of those LaFuma, you know, zero gravity type chairs. Maggie, of course, she's the director or the facilitator, and she's the one that actually handles all the equipment, and she liaises to make sure that, you know, I'm well taken care of and that the people are well taken care of, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Once I go into a trance, I don't remember anything. I set my whole consciousness aside. So whatever is said while I'm in trance, I do not remember. I have dreams and impressions. I put all of those on the recording afterwards, and I share those with, because they might be of value. But other than that, no, there's no real recollection of anything.
And we've heard that before. We've talked to other people that have channeled like that, and they say the same thing. They're like, I have no recollection of what happened.
They have no idea. Yeah, it's amazing.
And who wants it anyway?
Well, yeah. You might as well be out there.
Why would I be interested in everybody else's life?
You might as well be enjoying yourself, getting a nap, having a nice dream or whatever while they're all doing their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I basically go off and I have an amazing time, but then when I come back, if there's anything of interest, Maggie is going to fill me in anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
I don't need
true.
To worry about it, and this is great for me. Yeah?
How interesting. And then, Maggie, how wide and varied have the questions been? Are they sometimes really, really bizarre, or is it everybody seeking a similar underlying quest?
No, very varied. Everything from ETs to the universe to health issues to past lives, future lives, relationships, anything you could ever think of. How to empower themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
how
well,
to grow,
as far as relationships, as far as relationships are concerned, please, no more of that tonight. I've had last hour I got nailed hard with me and my girlfriend. So
yeah,
I think
we did the relationship
thing
last.
Don't ask the question.
No, we won't ask that question.
Yeah.
What?
If you ask the question, you're going to get an answer.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
So they can talk about anything.
Okay, great. It's like, we're just gonna. I mean, we usually do on this show. We're gonna, you know, we're gonna sit down and have a conversation with the wonders.
Yep.
Is there anything? Do we need to step back for a minute and let you do your thing?
You know, we can do this right here, right now. It only takes me a breath.
Okay.
One of the things that I'm different from a lot of other channels, it just takes me one breath, I'm gone. And I usually just do that so that Maggie can catch up to me. Otherwise, I'd be gone long before she'd be ready.
Okay. Well, whenever you're ready, just let us know. And
never fails, you know. They always invite me into the show, and then they never want me around.
Here.
They say, come on the show. Hey, get out of the way. Bring in the wonders.
Well, I hope that after we've talked with the wonders, I hope we do get to talk with you again, Renee.
Yeah, please.
And
yeah, well, the choice is entirely yours. You can tell, you can end it whenever you choose.
Okay.
How does that happen? Do we do a keyword?
You just tell Maggie you want to end it, and then she'll take me back out again.
All right. That sounds cool.
Okay.
All right, great.
Well, that sounds good.
Huh?
Yep. So everyone ready?
Sure.
Please envelop this entity so completely in love that all needs, wants, and desires are chosen.
And greetings.
Greetings, wonders.
Greetings, Maggie.
Would you please go to whom, to where, and to when you are directed? Would you please locate your facilitator, Maggie McGoffin-Goodett, on September 3rd, 2006?
Yes, we have you.
We are gathered here at 8361 11th Line, our number 2 in the town of Thornton in the province of Ontario, to give a telephone reading for Ghostly Talk radio show in Warren, Michigan, hosted by Scott, Doug, and Bonnie.
Yes, we have this.
Thank you. May we begin?
Please.
Okay, guys.
Hello.
Greetings.
Greetings, Doug.
Please, just introduce yourselves.
Sure. Go ahead, Doug. Why don't you start?
Hi, Wonders. My name is Doug Semig.
Greetings, Doug.
Hi, Wonders, and my name is Scott Lambert.
Greetings, Scott.
Hi, Wonders. My name is Bonnie Jamarusti.
Greetings, Bonnie. Good. Now that we have you, we didn't want to mix up Bonnie with Scott or Doug.
Well, I'm glad that won't be a problem.
Yeah.
We do have questions. I know I have questions.
Mm,
is it okay to continue with that?
Please.
I've been always interested in paranormal things. I'm interested in ghosts. I'm interested in ESP. I'm interested in UFOs. I'm interested in Bigfoot. I'm interested in a lot of different varied topics.
Mm-hmm.
And those topics here in our world, they're considered fringe. They're not normal for everyday people. And I do have a question. I'm wondering if these topics are valid. Are they something that I should be looking into and interested in?
Why not? Look at it from this perspective. Each of your particular interests are, in effect, expanding your existence. You're opening yourself up to new concepts, new understandings, new awarenesses. To a degree, you tend to limit yourself when you look simply at earthly considerations. But beyond that, there's still a willingness to explore beyond that. The key is, anything that expands your existence, then why not choose to explore it? After all, you did come here to explore the experience of existence, and all of that is part of the experience, isn't it?
And I don't think it's our sole reason to be here, but that is one of the main reasons is we are here to experience the wonders of existence,
Actually, that is the sole reason you're here.
That is the sole reason we're here.
Yes.
Now,
how you choose to do that is up to you. Each individual that incarnates makes different choices. Some choose, for example, to explore existence from a perspective of fear. Some are from a perspective of abundance. Some are from a perspective of interactions, relationships. In some cases, some individuals choose to explore from the perspective of an understanding of spirituality. In some cases, some individuals choose to explore it as a politician. Which, of course, we won't go into that.
Good idea.
You see? So the key is to realize that each and every one of you has chosen, from your own perspectives, the direction of your existence. But you're really here only to experience the experience of existence, and not to limit yourselves. Existence in third-dimensional reality has basically two limits. It has the limit of time and the limit of space. Not time as you know it. There is a degree of linearity to time. And there's a certain degree of linearity to space. But if you understand that what your perceptions of time and space are simply an illusion, you'll realize that you're here to explore beyond that illusion that holds you and limits you into a physical presence. You see?
Is there any experience that we might have that is just there to be an experience and not necessarily be understood? Because I want to understand everything, and I don't know if that's always healthy.
Yes, but the understanding, dear friend, is your control issue. You want to understand it in order to control it.
Mm-hmm.
So the key here is to realize that your mind is looking to gain control over the circumstances in order to manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason you want to understand. Every experience is just there to experience. Simple as that.
Well, then what is the control issue then? I mean, it don't matter really then. I mean, in the long run, it really doesn't matter. Because I know I'm very similar as Doug is with a lot of things where I have to understand how it's put together and how it works and how everything happens together and makes whatever happen, you know, whatever, okay? I mean, this control issue we're talking about, it doesn't really matter in the long run. It's just something that our minds are... I'm sorry?
Of course it does. It matters. It matters in the sense that it allows you to form a perspective that infuses you into what you consider to be your perspective of third-dimensional reality. It allows you to maintain a concept of and a construct of physical presence. It allows you to maintain a construct of interaction. For example, the concept of gravity, the concept of time, the concept of space, the concept of movement. Of course, control is necessary. It matters in that perspective. Because if you didn't have control, for example, your concept of movement would be very different. It wouldn't be a perspective of past, the present, the future.
Mm-hmm.
It would be more in the now. Your concept of time would also not be involved in the concept of memories, the concept of the past, the present, and the future. So the result would be that you would make different choices. It matters that you choose control, but it's not in the sense of judgment that it matters. It's just that you realize that it is a choice that you're making in order to explore it from this perspective.
Okay. That does make sense,
does it? It does. Is there...
We're very good at making sense, aren't we?
You do know. What are ghosts?
Ooh.
Ghosts are very simply... the energy of yourselves after you cast off physically, as you move through a process called reintegration and reevaluation, where all choices are reviewed, as you move through this process, oftentimes an individual that has cast off physically has, out of fear, chosen not to move through that particular process. There is an encouragement by the universe. There is a willingness to appreciate, to love, to encourage, to surround that individual. But the individual has free will and free choice, even after they've cast off seed of clay. So the result is they tend to remain attached to their awareness of physical reality, that they've separated themselves from the concept of totally physical is to their credit. But they're still remaining attached to the illusion of physical, and so they oftentimes stick around and enjoy the process.
If they had chosen to go through the review and go to the next step, and then is it then that they can also choose to come back? Is there a reincarnation?
Yes. They must go through the process of review and reintegration before the concept of reincarnation occurs. Though, do realize that your soul essence is not simply a singular incarnation. Your soul essence, for example, both of you, Scott and dear Bonnie, to a degree lesser than Scott and Doug, you all have perspectives of incarnation at this moment in time, and space, it could be said, that are multiples of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not simply the only incarnations of your soul essence. Each one has a different personality. Each one has a different ego. But it is still an incarnation of soul essence. So there's an extension of soul essence that occurs in a variety of different perspectives. For example, Scott, right now, though you yourself are incarnated here in this moment in time and space, there's an extension of your soul essence that is existing simultaneously right now in the year 1722 after the birth of the Nazarene. So in that existence, you're still, to you, to the soul essence, it is simultaneous to your existence right now. For soul essence doesn't have the same perspective of time that you do. Do you see?
Mm. So there's, you said there's multiple, and to put it in layman's terms for me, there's multiple incarnations of myself in different times. More
yes.
or less, I would say the universal timeline. Is that what you could call it?
Well, actually, there is in that. But dear Doug, for you, right now, there's three of you in the world.
And right now?
Yes, right now.
Okay, that's Doug.
Where are they? Do you know who they are?
Yes, we do.
Sorry.
Can you tell me, or is that knowledge that I shouldn't know?
Let's put it to the... We can't give you the full detail. We can, but we choose not to. But we can give you this. Right now, you are where you are presently. There's also another extension of your soul essence right now in the northern part of Italy. And there's one that has just been incarnated in the southern part of Russia.
Is there a reason that this happens?
Choice. Choice by soul essence. No other reason.
So your other self said, "Yeah, I'm going to come back."
Interesting. And is there? Why would my soul or my essence choose to do this? Is there not me
because
particular?
It wants to experience more.
Wow.
Your soul essence is not willing to limit itself in its exploration of experience, and it chooses to experience as much as it can. Why do you think that the population of the human population is growing and expanding? Do you think it's the new soul essences are interested? We realize that there's a lot of sources out there that keep telling you that there's a variety of soul essences in the universe that are incarnating, but it's not a one-to-one relationship. This fallacy or this illusion has to be shifted in order to truly understand the interconnection between yourself and...
Would I recognize another part of me if I were to run into that?
There's a high degree of probability that you would if you were open to the awareness that it existed.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't, you would simply see it as simply somebody else.
Is there a possibility that people who are born twins, I do not have a twin, but people who are born twins, there's been some interesting correlations that they can, you know, think the same
yes.
thoughts and things like that. Is that, are they one and the same sometimes, or are they always different but related so closely because of, you know, the birthing process?
There is the odd, and we do mean odd here, and not in the sense of crazy odd. One that is from the same soul essence. the majority of them are usually, it's two soul essences choosing to incarnate to experience something unique. But there is sometimes when there is a singular soul essence, yes.
And they can be born in the same part of space and time together.
Yeah.
From the same mother.
From the same mother, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, here's a question I have concerning, I mean, Doug has, you know, two other Dougs running around, let's just say. I mean, just to put it down that way.
You may have more than two other little Dougs running around, but that's just a joke, dear friend.
Okay. My question is, and this is not, I'm interested in this, is you mentioned that, you know, we'll give you a little bit of information, but we can't tell you, you know, exactly where they are, you know, with fine details. My question is, probably I'm speculating, saying, okay, if you were to give every piece of information to Doug right now, who knows what he may go out and do. And now, I'm not saying Doug's nuts or he's a homicidal maniac, but could it be a possibility that if you've told someone detailed information on their soul essence of this sort, they would go out and try, you know, maybe out of ego, let's say, go out and try to destroy that other extension of themselves?
It's a possibility.
We
realize that everything we say, we choose not to affect free choice and free will. So it isn't for us to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why oftentimes we choose not to give you everything, for if we did, it would affect free choice and free will.
Well,
we've given you sufficient here to pique your curiosity. We've planted a seed, but then you must choose to follow it.
Well, it seems as if you gave us every answer to everything, there'd be no room for thought. I mean, we'd be done here. We wouldn't need to do the show anymore.
Why would you want to experience anything then?
Exactly.
In fact, if you take a look at humanity, take a look at society around you, isn't that what everybody wants? They want someone to say to them, tell me what to do, tell me how to live, tell me how to breathe, tell me how to act, tell me how to feel, tell me what to choose. And then that way they can go ahead and blame if it doesn't work for them.
Mm, that's very, very true.
Why do humans have what I would consider a very limited lifespan?
Because they choose to.
Okay.
Your body is capable of living 10,444 years. That's what it was designed to do. It's a very unique design. It's very capable. It is self-replenishing, self-healing. But your mind interferes so much that you take that 10,444 years and bring it down to a simple 73, 74, in some cases 62 years.
Well, now it seems like we're going back to Earth terms, though, because, I mean, what's the reason for that? Let's say, you just said we live on average, the average male lives to be about 70 years old, let's say, okay?
It's 75.
75, okay. So, is it...
Females have it over you, though. They live to be 78.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the thing. Now, that's on Earth terms. We don't take... Is it a matter of us not taking care of our bodies the way we should? Is it stress on our minds that creates stress on our body? It's these things that kill us, then, obviously.
Yeah. All of the above.
Because we both smoke cigarettes, so I don't think that's going to help I don't think that's helping our cause right now.
No, actually, it's reduced your lifespan right now by approximately 14.2 years, and every cigarette you're smoking is reducing it by another 3.6 days.
Nice.
Wow.
Great.
So.
Is there an incentive for us to quit now, Doug?
Look at Doug's face.
I'm appalled at myself. When
Why judge it? You see, the key is, dear friends, neither one of you will ever quit smoking if you keep judging yourselves. Instead of judging yourself, just realize this is a choice you've made. Okay, you've made this choice. Mm-hmm. Can it be altered? Can it be shifted? Yes. Can you change the choice? Absolutely. Can you quit smoking? Yes. Don't keep telling yourself that, oh, I'm addicted to nicotine. That's a song. I'm addicted to nicotine. I'm addicted to nicotine. And I can't quit. Look at me. You see? It's a great little game you play with yourselves. It's a game of the, it's not my fault. After all, it's the nicotine's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hate to shatter your illusions, dear friends, but it is your choice.
It is our choice.
You're choosing it. So you can choose to simply let go and change your choices.
I can't count how many times I've driven by a store and said, oh, I'm out of cigarettes. I need to stop in there and grab cigarettes. And it's just been going on a lot more lately, I might say, too. I've really been hard on myself about this, and I've said, why do I need to go in there and buy these things? I'm not doing myself any good with this.
We're deluding ourselves.
Yeah, and then I say, well, you know, hey, and I, like you just said, I play a game with myself. I BS myself to the point where I go out and end up buying them again. I do this all the time. where I say, well, you know, hey, I got a lot going on here. I got to keep myself going. I need something to reward myself after I'm done working so hard, and that happens a lot.
And instead of drinking
so
with
think
orange
think everything
juice.
You just said, if we may interrupt for a moment.
Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Take a look at everything you've just said.
Mm-hmm.
You've basically explained your psychology. You are a psychology of self-harm, self-flagellation, self-denial, self-denigration, with a smattering of desire for more, not willing to choose it, too afraid, and you have a great deal of fear of loving yourself. So really, right now, if you take a look at yourself, if you explore those aspects of yourself, you'll come to a point of appreciation of yourself that'll say, do I choose to change myself? You see?
Mm-hmm.
And if you start to love yourself and start to appreciate all that there is to appreciate about yourself, realize your brilliance, realize the extent of your choices, realize how amazing and talented and gifted an individual you are, you may then choose to say, well, I can choose to explore existence differently. That you've chosen to explore to this point with cigarettes, good for you. That you've chosen to allow cigarettes to harm you, good for you. That you've chosen to limit your existence and reduce it substantially, good for you. Do you choose to change it? Good for you. You see?
Mm-hmm. I do, Doug. What do you? What do you see?
I want to change the topic real quick. Is there a way...
I can pass on this next cigarette, yes.
No. I have a feeling that won't happen for a while now, because I'm sufficiently questioning my own motives. But
do you want to know how long it'll take you before you have your next cigarette?
Yes.
Bonnie,
how long will it take him?
Actually, he'll struggle. By 12 minutes from now, he'll be struggling.
Okay. We'll find out.
Somebody just set their watch. I heard it.
Is there a way to travel in time? I mean, these physical bodies, is there any science, anything that can be done to take the bodies out of a time zone, like right at this present moment, and move it back in time or forward in time, experience that, and then come back to the present, the time that the person left?
Yes.
There is science that can do this, and
it
it's
is
just
presently being developed in by your call it your military.
That don't surprise me in any way either.
That doesn't surprise
that
me.
That don't surprise me at all.
And it is
they're
possible.
In the process of exploring it. They haven't developed it yet. They're still in the process of exploring it, but the technology and the science is basically there. It needs to be shifted a little bit, not much, just a little bit, to be able to get the answers that they're looking for. Technologically speaking, it is useful. It has a certain methodology. They are moving towards it. But actually, it's a very cumbersome way of doing it. We would suggest rather a simpler way is to simply make a choice.
Well, is time travel itself, and thank you for bringing that up, by the way, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Is time travel itself, my thing is with the advancements of science, obviously in this era right now, the things that we're allowed to use, let's say, because we've heard stories about technology being just years ahead in the underground areas with the shadow governments, the conspiracy type stuff like that. But with the things that we're allowed to use now, the technology has just grown in leaps and bounds, especially over the last 10 years. What I'm wondering as far as time travel is concerned is, what value is it going to add to what the existence of living is going to be? Concerning what we're talking about tonight, what is that going to do? Is that going to help us learn? Is that going to help us explore existence? Or is it going to cause more problems or do more harm than it is good?
All of the above.
That's what I figured. The right people will use it the right way. The wrong people are unfortunate.
There's no right or wrong, but do realize that some individuals will use it to try to change the concept of choice. They see time travel as an opportunity to change choice. And so, for example, some individuals will go back and try to change Hitler's choices. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Which would, of course, shift a great part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it would also shift a great part of the world in a different direction. So really there is some concept in regards to this. The main reason for time travel that's being developed by the military is not so much to go into the past as much as to go into the future to perceive and anticipate the perspectives of choice of others. They have used certain remote viewing, for example,
oh, yeah.
In that term, in that methodology. They've used psychics in that way, and they're trying to use technology in order to be more accurate, more consistent than the human being, but they fail to realize that the humans were very consistent. It's just that the future is never fixed. You see?
Mm-hmm. So going back in time, like you just said, and it's a good example, going back in time and stopping Hitler from doing what he did, that would, you, from what I understand, from what you hinted, it seems, is that that would be a positive paradox you created there in our world.
No, that's a paradox. We wouldn't create, call it a positive. We would say it's only positive if you judge it. Mm-hmm. All they would do is it would create a different perspective of choice. However, and this is the key to understand, that the choice to not the choices that Hitler made that would have been different, those were made. Even though they were not made in your reality, they were made. So you could see from the perspective of time travel that there is a parallel alternative that exists parallel to this one, in which basically certain choices are being made differently. For example, right now, there's a Scott and Doug in a parallel, and a Bonnie, in a parallel existence in which questions are being asked differently, different choices.
Mm-hmm. Well, that may explain a lot of things then, because this seems to apply, because, and you guys hear me all the time about this, I say to these people that I work with, I go, why are people so ridiculous? How can they make these decisions that in my perception, are just completely illogical? They make no sense at all. They're going to do no good for them. They're going to do only harm as far as my perception is concerned. Could it be a result of them being in some type of different reality where in their mind they perceive that to be the correct move to make? Where in my mind, when I'm looking to that on the outside going, that's absolutely ridiculous. Why are you doing that? Is it because of this reason that we're talking about right now?
No. It's not what we're talking about, parallel alternatives. But what you're expressing, in effect, is just your different perceptions of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Your judgment, is, per se, is moved through your own perceptions and creates a different construct within your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The judgment of others moves them through their own perceptions, creates a different construct through themselves, through their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you can look at them and judge them, and they look at you and judge you.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the more you come to appreciate yourself, the more you choose to not judge yourself, the more you'll realize that each individual has their own opportunities to choose, and there won't be that necessity to judge it. So you won't find yourself emotionally attached and exploring the way you are.
Doug?
I want to change topics again. Loch Ness Monster. Is that a reality?
Yes.
Bigfoot. Is that a reality?
Yes.
Specifically about Bigfoots, do they exist only partially in time here in our reality?
No, they're actually real, just like you.
They're real, just like us.
Yep.
Why
are they so elusive?
Why are they elusive? Yeah.
Because they don't want to be found.
I don't blame them sometimes.
Well, okay, there's some more judgment right there. How do they instinctively know that they don't want to be found? What is their reason?
Because they're
for
afraid.
Okay.
They don't instinctively know. They fear from their perspective.
Are these folks in the UFOs, do they have souls?
Yeah.
Are they curious about us, or are they trying to use us as some kind of experiment or for their own nefarious purposes?
All of the above. Some races have a curiosity of humanity. They are curious about your development, your social development.
Mm-hmm.
Some are curious about the way your bodies are made up. They find it interesting that your bodies don't last as long as they were designed to be last. And some see you as a food source, by the way. Their lips are drooling, waiting for you to get fat enough so that they can start eating you more.
Oh, great.
Can you tell me about Atlantis?
Yeah.
Was Atlantis how Plato described it, an island nation that sunk under the sea because of their experiments?
Not so much as the experiments. In partly their experiments, in part because of nature. Yes, they were a part of a what could be called a continent at that point. But the continent did slip under the sea. The experiments that they created in their society did precipitate the fall of their society as a whole, but the actual physical area was mainly as a result of the Earth's movement itself.
So it was more of a natural thing. I mean,
the physical perspective, but the society had denigrated to the point that it was self-destructive at that point. Yes.
Is it possible in our time frames? And I know this is going to be very confusing because, you know, now there's the alternate timelines that happen because
don't
of
worry
choices.
About it.
Okay. Parts of Atlantis or records of Atlantis will be found.
Yes.
And
in fact, if you take a look at the pyramids, you'll realize that within the pyramids are a number of records about Atlantis.
Do you mean in the writings on the pyramids that have already been found or hidden?
In the hieroglyphics. It exists within the hieroglyphics itself. And it also exists underneath some of the major pyramids in Egypt right now.
Why can't we get to those records and examine them?
Not yet found. Not yet discovered that these areas exist.
Are there other Atlantean records?
There are some off the coast of Crete. And there's also some near the Azores.
Interesting.
There was a question, actually, if I may interject. We did have a question in the chat room. One of our listeners, actually, we like to think that he's part of the team, actually, as a matter of fact. Scott Kay, a good friend of ours, he actually wrote our theme song for the show. He actually had a question. His wife's mother.
Father.
His wife's father. He was more or less wondering if his wife's father was in the house, was still living in their house with them. He is deceased.
Without locating the individual and the location itself and the deceased individual, we can't give you that.
Okay.
We need the person's name, the date of birth, and where they live.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have him email you or something like that if we can possibly. We'll see what we can do. But I want to make sure we ask that for him. I didn't mean to interject on that, but I wanted to.
By all means, the key here is to realize that when you're looking to locate someone, we require the person's name, the date of birth, and where they live, or if they've passed on, name, date of birth, and date of death.
Okay. All right.
It allows us to locate that particular energy in your time and space.
In regards to Egypt, if I may jump in here myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's kind of funny because I was going to ask this anyways, and it just kind of fell that way, so that's cool. You were talking about the records of Atlantis. It's obviously, as people here in our narrow perspective of things, we try to figure out how things work, how they're put together, directly relating to what we're talking about right now. I know that's a big question. It's a very, very simple question. I've always wondered how the pyramids, how the Great Pyramid, for example, was built, how it was put together, how they were able to build this monolithic thing with the very low technology that they had. I'm wondering if you could give me some insight into that.
They didn't have low technology. First, they realized that the majority of the labor that went into it was slave labor. Do realize that. That did exist. However, there was Atlantean technology as well as Palladian technology that assisted the Egyptians in building those particular pyramids.
Can we go into what type of technology it was?
Is the Atlantean technology used in crystals in order to levitate certain formations into place? And the Palladian technology basically provided mathematical perspectives of awareness in order to... as well as similar to what you call laser, not quite laser, but similar to that, in order to ensure that the stones themselves were reasonably well cut.
Okay, because it's obvious that today, the Great Pyramid, through all the things that have happened in the past,
it's still an engineering marvel,
and it's still perfect. It's still the same thing from what we understand. It's the same dimensions as it was back then.
Do you know when in our timeline when was the pyramid built? How many thousands of years ago?
The Great Pyramid was built 12,244 years ago.
Really? Because contemporary, the mean number people keep saying is around 4,500 years ago. But I've heard...
realize that. We know that you've used carbon dating. We know that you've used certain... your scientists have used certain technological calculations in order to calculate the age of the pyramids, but we assure you the pyramids were built over 12,000 years ago.
Yeah, I've heard conflicting theories also that date the thing back to over 10,000 years ago, which is right around what you're saying. So
yeah, the key to understand is that when the pyramids were built, they were beginning to be built, the Atlanteans, a number of them, did move from Atlantis, and they did move over to that particular part of the world. And encountering that particular society, chose to infuse themselves into the society. And so as a result, they not only inbred into the society, they also brought in certain awarenesses, certain technological awarenesses that they had with them.
There is a phenomenon called EVP, electronic voice phenomena, and this fascinates many of my friends.
It
fascinates us as well. Mm-hmm. I think that what they're trying to do is capture voices of people who have passed on either tape, you know, electric recording tape, or digital recorders, and some very interesting voices do appear that should not be there. What are those voices?
Most of the EVP at this point, most, not all, but most, is basically, sound emanating from outer space, if you want to call it that. Sound waves hitting the planet and bouncing back. There are within the planet itself, there is a number of them, the individuals that are looking, as you said, to look at sounds from individuals that have passed on. What makes you think, dear friend, that just because they don't have a physical body, they cannot make sound? The key is that you're trying to use a technology that is limited by the perceptions that you yourselves have about your existence. So you've built a technology that is limited to your existence. If you were to shift the technology slightly, for example, in your recording devices, alter the frequency. Go into the higher realms of frequency, much higher than what you've anticipated. Go approximately 3,000 to 4,000% higher than what you're looking at presently, and you'll start to uncover the frequency that the universe is speaking on. And when you uncover that, you'll start to realize that the sounds of all of existence can be heard. You see?
Interesting. Very interesting.
Interesting. Is there technology that exists? Like, for example, would we use crystals to be able to do this?
Mm-hmm. Certain crystal structures will emanate and vibrate at that level. They are hard to find, however, we assure you. But the key is that they are available. There's a number of other technological ways of doing it. We're not going to give you everything, because if we give you everything, then you'll just go run out and do it.
Well, yeah.
The key is for you to discover it for yourself. The choice must be yours, dear friend. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, there's been a lot of work in regards to EVP. Now, you say that a lot of the stuff we may be capturing right now with these limited instruments that we use may be sounds from space, sounds from the universe.
Some of them, however, do seem to interact with us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We agree. But again, do realize that, you know the old adage, if you decide what you're looking for, you'll look for it and find it.
Yes. Oh, yes.
We've been saying that for years.
What's going on right now with the majority of the EVP phenomena is an anticipation of the mind that has created an opportunity to, in effect, explore what the mind has anticipated. If you want the true communication, you can go beyond this. Telepathy, dear friend, is not limited. You don't need technology to be able to communicate with anyone that's dead. You just need to open yourself. You'd be amazed at what they'll tell you. It's always there, anyways. The key is that if you're limited to technology, realize you've created technology to only get what you think you want to get. So the result is a lot of times EVP technology is designed to fuel more fear. You see?
Yes, yes. So
what you do is you create the technology to fuel, and you fear what it is you're looking for, so you create something to find out what it is you're afraid of, and then when you find it, then you're definitely afraid.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Maggie, we may need to cut this off. Before we go, though, Wonders, I want to tell you, thank you so very much. Yeah, do you have any questions for us the other way around?
No, but consider this. Ask yourselves this question. Of all the questions you've asked this evening, which one made you the most uncomfortable?
I think statement more, maybe not question, or maybe it was. Maybe it was a question to you, probably about our cigarette smoking.
That was the one that
made me uncomfortable.
That was the one that made me the most uncomfortable. Yeah. Yes.
Then that's the area to start exploring for yourself.
Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you.
I think we should start exploring it by tossing it. Tossing the cigarette.
Thank you very much.
Wonders, may we move to end this session?
Please
perform all healings that are chosen.
Done.
Please relax the body to its natural state now.
And to you all, the appreciation of all.
The appreciation of all, Wonders. I would like Renee to awake feeling completely lost now.
Came out of that session. It was kind of interesting because I was seeing somebody tuning in their TV, and they could see this face in the TV, and the guy was smoking a cigarette and saying, "Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke." This is what I got.
All right, well, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, you did. You had a prophetic dream.
There you go.
That was happening. There was a lot more.
Like you guys were exploring cigarette smoking.
We've been exploring it for the better part of 20 years.
Yeah, I think
it's
time we quit exploring
that. Yeah.
Renee, that was fantastic.
Fascinating. And we learned a lot. I think we both of us learned a lot. You know, when we do these shows, I have to say, Renee, when we're having a conversation with someone, we always have questions. We always like to have a fun conversation. When we're talking to Wonders, I know both of us were kind of like, a few times we were both just left speechless on certain things where we really couldn't. We're like, okay, that's, you know, either exactly what I've been trying to put into words for years or, I'm going to take some time to process this one.
Right.
Yeah. The Wonders have a way of doing that to people, don't they?
And they
leave you speechless at times, but they also leave you with a sense inside of yourself that you can go to the next question. They always give you a sense that a sense of discovery, that there's more out there to discover.
Well, and I felt completely comfortable to ask any question. As did Doug, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of questions.
Yeah, Renee, I sort of pummeled them. I feel guilty, but
don't feel guilty. Your questions were wonderful.
Thank you.
We're here to learn. This show was designed for not only the listening audience to learn, but you know, it's also our outlet to learn things too. I mean, this is what we're here to do. So,
what better way can you do it?
Yeah, start your own show.
Well, that's what we're doing.
And
there you go.
Yeah, you guys do have. You have your own podcast, am I correct?
We have our show. It's on WARL out of Providence, Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock.
Mm.
And then we have our own podcast, and we're looking right now, actually, to start up another internet radio show. So
very cool.
What happens.
Wow.
Very cool.
Because this is amazing. How long have you, Renee and Maggie, how long have you been doing this stuff? And
we've been doing this for 10 years. We've been together, actually, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it was interesting because I was doing it before I met Maggie. I was channeling the Wonders before then, but I had all kinds of different people helping me, and I always knew that there was something missing. I was looking for the right person. And when Maggie came into my life, the Wonders called her, and they said she was the missing link. Not the hairy one, but the missing link.
Blood and not hairy.
Oh, my. Trust me. Oh, my. That's really good.
Your website is, of course, www.thewonders.com. I have a feeling I'm going to bookmark that when I get home. because,
good for you.
Because,
go explore, because we've got all kinds of radio shows on there. Also, we're on another radio show as well out of Vancouver, B.C., called News for the Soul Radio Show. We've got all kinds of
shows
we've done on there as well. And, of course, now that we're on your show as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's, yeah.
Well, I have to say it was an absolute pleasure. We were very happy to have you guys here. It was really great.
This is absolutely
amazing.
Well,
you know, we can do this anytime, guys.
It's
your invitation.
The floodgates are open now. You'll be hearing from me again really soon.
This is absolutely amazing, you guys. I do want to keep in touch. I want to know where you guys are at, when you're going to be there. you know, I want to know everything about all your projects.
Well, you know, if you're really interested... because you guys are in Detroit. You're not that far away.
No.
Or in Michigan, actually, but you're not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a great big workshop coming up next year.
Mm.
Okay, go to our website. It's on. It's right on the top left, right hand side. It's 2007 workshop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2-week, all inclusive workshop with 37 sessions with the Wonders over 2 weeks, and it's about changing the humanity's consciousness to move away from a consciousness of fear to a consciousness of free choice. The people that are attending are going to be amazing. There's all kinds of people from all over the world coming. The Wonders have said that there's going to be, 32 billion entities that are going to be present. Not all human, and some from other worlds, and some entities from other dimensions of reality. They're all going to be present for this particular workshop. So if you think you guys are having a good time with Ghostly Talk, imagine that.
It would definitely be a different show, I think.
Yeah, 32 billion.
Like,
I just got done talking with 32 billion entities.
What'd you do this week, huh?
Yeah. What'd
billion,
you do?
Billion.
Amazing.
See them, and yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to see them. There's going to be fairies, and there's going to be goblins, and all
ghosts
kinds of...
Ghosts and nitties.
Ghosts
and nitties.
Yep, they're all going to be there.
Energy.
Very interesting.
And that's not that far. And that's in Ontario, right?
That it'll be in Ontario, we're holding it up at a nice resort just north of us in Collingwood, Ontario.
Wow.
It's going to be, we're going to have great organic food and spring water available for everybody. It's going to be an amazing, it's going to be 4 sessions a day. So it's going to be quite intense.
It's going to be intense, sounds like a very intense thing. Unfortunately, though,
we were talking about linear time to the Wonders, and now
our
it's
narrow
come back
scope
to hit
time,
us.
Slap us right in the face.
It's 9
thank
o'clock.
You very much for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Renee.
Stay on the line for a second if you don't mind, guys. Just stay with us for one more second. We're just going to close the show out.
Yes. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, the Wonders. I'd like to thank Tuesday Miles.
Oh, for a wonderful conversation. We'll be talking later Tuesday.
Yes, we'll have to. and of course, Janice Oberding. All the websites are www.thewonders.com.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday Miles was tuesdaymiles.faithweb.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Janice Oberding, her Las Vegas Paranormal Convention is www.tlvpc.com. That's the initials from the Las Vegas Paranormal Convention. Mm-hmm. That has been it for Ghostly Talk this week. We will be back next week at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for another 3-hour
That's going to be a roller coaster ride next week.
Six guests.
We're going to set the world's record on paranormal talk show guest in one show.
So until then, thank you everybody for listening. This has been Ghostly Talk. I am Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. To listen to now.
The media, become the media.